Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
It is 8:33. Welcome to Thursday, February the 20th, February 2020. Hi, Charlie Brennan.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Brad Young of Hairstyle Fisher & Young.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Amy Markscores.
Good morning.
All right, I am feeling peppy today. I did watch the debate last night. It was highly entertaining after some relatively cordial debates and some that were kind of downright boring. Yesterday's two-hour battle was... Regardless of where you fall, it was entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It was a two-hour battle, and every candidate put on the defensive at some point, especially Mike Bloomberg.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
There were so many good lines and highlights from last night. I don't even know where to start. But overall, Charlie, your thoughts
on
the debate?
I think Bloomberg's in trouble. And I'm really surprised that a guy who spent 12 years as the mayor of New York and should have been, you know, in the middle of controversies and able to fend off criticisms seemed to be completely unprepared for the Me Too allegations, which first surfaced probably years and years ago when he was mayor of New York, because all these allegations go back to when he ran his business in the 80s and 90s. So the Washington Post on Sunday resurrected a lot of this, including the booklet that was put together by employees that included completely inappropriate comments and jokes. And yet here he is last night, Wednesday night. He's not ready for it. He's blindsided. And one thinks, okay, is he so busy crafting commercials that he's not really in tune with what people are talking about out there? Did he, as he rises in the polls, did he not think that Elizabeth Warren and everybody else on that panel would be going after him? He just, he almost seemed like he got there ready to receive the nomination and wasn't ready for a debate. So I think right now, I think the Democrats are in a lot of trouble.
Brad?
Well, I think Bloomberg brought a wallet to a knife fight is what happened.
Yeah, good point.
So,
that's awesome.
And
I'm going to write that line
that's
down.
That's the line of the day.
Use it.
But when I was thinking about Elizabeth Warren this morning, I was thinking, you know, she goes into Vegas, she's down in the polls, so she needed to roll the dice, right? So she actually, I think she did hit the inside straight, and if the fundraising totals are any indication, she hit the jackpot. Fundraising afterwards went way up for Elizabeth Warren, so she had a good night. I don't know if it's going to make any difference long term, but in the short term, it gave new life to her campaign. And Biden, I mean, he didn't do badly last night, but he needed to have a breakout night in order to kind of distinguish himself from the pack, and that didn't happen.
I just know that if the dog-faced pony soldiers and the horse-faced lesbians get together, it's going to be a hell of a party.
Yeah, the cops are showing up at that party.
That's right. You know, regarding Bloomberg, he seemed very stoic. And he almost seemed like he didn't care about the attacks. Here's my question. What approach should Bloomberg take? Because if he tries to out-woke the other candidates, he's not going to do it. If he comes across as apologetic and sycophantic, I don't think that's going to make him win. He has to run on, I'm just going to beat Trump and I don't care. So there's a little bit of that cavalier attitude. And when you look at the money he's pouring into his ad campaigns, I think that's what, I don't know that he cared as much about this debate as he does just throwing more and more money at the ad campaigns, because I guarantee you more people are seeing the commercials than are seeing the debate.
Well, I don't know. It's going to resonate a lot because you have last night's debate and those clips are going to go on ad infinitum. And so he may have commercials, but there's a lot of free press that the other candidates will enjoy as they're playing horse-faced lesbians again and again and again, as we are going to do between 9 and 11. Sure. And I don't know if he can come back, because in this age of Me Too movement, with all the liberal women and others in the Democratic Party, guys too, you know, they're just going to say, how, if you're not going to defend yourself when it comes to the profane, obscene comments you made to employees. And he said, well, actually, a lot of my employees were women. They did well. Yeah, we're not talking about the women who did well. We're talking about the ones that you preyed upon with your bad humor and cutting comments and profanities and obscenities. And one woman gets pregnant and he allegedly said, kill the baby. I mean, how's he going to defend himself against that?
Well, and that's my question then. We're going to see, what is the defining current of our age? Are we living in the Me Too age, or are we living in the Trump age? Because it didn't stop Trump.
But here's the other thing. And I don't know how he should have responded, but he needed a response.
Yeah, he had nothing.
Right. And any one of us could have crafted exactly what attacks would be on him. And for him to have spent hundreds of millions of dollars already, but he didn't call somebody and say, help me come up with a good answer for this.
You know what? He must have just surrounded himself with yes people his entire career. I mean,
for sure.
As a mayor of New York, he certainly was the subject of attacks in the papers. I mean, you got three major dailies and I don't know how many other, you know, magazines and radio stations. Certainly he should have been ready for this. But as the head of Bloomberg, I bet he has just a lot of people kissing his butt all day long. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't used to an Elizabeth Warren next to him, Harvard law professor, really. And by the way, she was kamikaze. She was like, I'm going down. I'm taking all of you with me.
Well, she
had to be, because she's, you know, she's down the poll. So she had to have a good night last night. But if Bloomberg is going to take the position that Donald Trump is afraid of me, what we saw last night, Donald Trump has nothing to fear.
I guess with my thing with Bloomberg is, I don't know if he's just so out of touch, or he just doesn't care because he thinks, I'll just buy more ad time. Because this is a guy who told his story about, at one point, he got fired from a job and got a $10 million severance package,
you know,
and how hard that was. That's not going to resonate with the American people.
No.
If you're struggling, your tough time was a $10 million severance package.
You can buy a lot of ad time, and it doesn't necessarily work. We've seen that so many times in presidential politics.
Right.
Jeb Bush had far and away more money than any of the other candidates in 2016. How about Tom Steyer? I mean, he's got the money.
He spent millions and millions, and he doesn't even poll 1%.
No. And then you got a guy like Bernie, who is raising money through small donations and lots of them. And I got to tell you, Bernie is a clear talking socialist. And when he speaks, you understand. And I think he's got a great advantage over the others.
And I think we're looking at a brokered convention. I know that's always talked about every year.
Oh, yeah,
but
definitely.
Truly this year, I think, is the greatest opportunity for a brokered convention that we've had in a generation. And if Bernie goes into that convention with the most delegates, and then it becomes brokered and goes to the second round of voting and he doesn't win, you're going to see a revolution. You're going to see a civil war, rather, in the Democrat Party if he gets the most delegates in the primary and then doesn't get the nomination.
And I think that could happen, because those superdelegates will go to the connected establishment.
Absolutely.
And then his supporters will say, you stole it. We're staying home in November.
It's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey. That is Amy Markscores, Brad Young, and Charlie Brennan. Okay, let's just have one more thing from the debate last night. Well, I want to ask Brad, this is off the topic here, but did you not go, ooh, when Elizabeth Warren said to Bloomberg, so are you saying tonight on television, will you make the pledge that all the women who sued you, you're releasing them from their non-disclosure agreements? Will you make that pledge? I went, oh, snap, what's he going to say?
Yeah, that was a drop the mic moment, because he couldn't say yes, because if he said yes, there would be a flood of information comes out. If he says no, he looks bad. And no matter what, he said he looked bad, which kind of was Mike Bloomberg's night. He looked bad at every juncture.
He had no real answer.
So he's in an untenable position. I mean, right. With that, he can't move forward in this party. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. Now, he might get the Republican nomination because the sensibilities are different. But, I mean, people have been marching in the streets. We've been, you know, listing the names of all the Me Too violators, you know, the past couple of years. I don't see how he overcomes that.
Well, the youngest guy on the stage brought up health. And Pete Buttigieg, more than willing to release his health records and his physical if he becomes president. I think it was Sanders who alleged that Bloomberg had a heart attack?
Yes.
Somebody, okay. And then Pete asked Bernie about his heart attack. So the old guys are being asked about their health by the young guy. When asked by Anderson Cooper if more information about his health will be forthcoming, Bernie Sanders replied, I don't think we will, no. So the question, Amy, should Bernie Sanders or whoever is the candidate release all of his medical records and not just a letter from his doctor like for the president did?
No, because I think the Democrats have found an out. Overall, Democrats don't want Sanders to be president, right? They don't want him to be the Democratic nominee.
Except for his followers, of course.
Except for the Bernie bros. Who would you say is the most popular? Who do they want to be the Democratic primary? Could you pick? Would it be Warren? Would it be Biden? Let's say it's Warren. Bernie doesn't release his records. He wins the nomination, makes Warren his vice president. 8 months into the presidency, he keels over because he never released those medical records and he's not doing well. And they got the president they want. That's what they should do. Let Bernie become president and assume he's not going to make it.
Wow. Remind me never to be ahead of you in any sort of organizational structure.
Like, I mean, what could, like, well, I don't think he's doing well. So let him win. And then you just keel over at some point.
Wow.
And we'll get the person in charge that we want.
What is he, 78? What's the actuarial table for white male in this country?
79.
83. Okay, so he can last one term, you know, by actuarial standards. I might be the only one. I don't really care about the health records because I think we're all, you know, who knows, we could get hit by a car tomorrow. There's that. I don't care about the tax records. Let's take Donald Trump, for example. We've all formed our opinions, pro or con, on the president of the United States. Are they really going to change much if he releases his tax records at this point or at any point? I don't even know what Kennedy's tax records were or Eisenhower's or FDR's or Johnson's. Frankly, I don't think they matter. I think they're just a campaign gimmick that your opponents bring up trying to find a little dirt. You know, did you give too much, too little to charity, whatever. If Bernie Sanders or Bloomberg release their taxes, I'm not going to read either of them.
Well, I generally agree with you, Charlie, but with regard to the health records, if the guy has a heart attack on the campaign trail, I think it becomes more relevant than just the normal, we need to see your records in order to try to find if there's a gotcha moment in his medical records. When the guy has a heart attack on the campaign trail, I think it becomes more relevant than usual.
I bet there are people who wouldn't be sad if Bernie just was no longer a candidate. Why release the records? It doesn't matter. No one's going to change. Oh, well, I was going to vote for Bernie Sanders, but now that I see he's got a weak heart, I'm going to vote for Trump.
Well, Hillary is still alive, I will point out. And during the last campaign, she had some deadly disease and was on death's door. But she's still kicking, so you never know. It is 8:47. We'll take a break here and come back with round three of OT on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:52, Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks-Scores, Brad Young, I'm Debbie Monterey. The Federal Communications Commission yesterday issued an order terminating the license renewal of local shock jock Bob Romanek. Some of you may not know him, but he owns some radio stations across the river, and he is accused of deceiving federal regulators into hiding his ownership of four stations, also criticized for his homophobic and racist slurs on the show, which he says fall under free speech protection. He likes the N-word a lot, for sure. And I think this is a tricky one for some people, Charlie, because there's certainly freedom of speech, and yet he is a flamethrower. Thoughts about this one?
Yeah, I've always supported the FCC and its regulation of over-the-air media, television or radio, as opposed to cable, because there is, as the Supreme Court has ruled, an intrusive nature to radio. It, you know, it's something that it's very available, accessible by kids, You don't really have to opt in that. Opting is not that difficult, like cable or, you know, subscribing, whatever. So I think the FCC is able to regulate speech and behavior on television or radio. In this guy's case, I tuned in once, and honest to goodness, I think I heard the N-word every other minute, something like that. I was completely appalled, couldn't believe that he was on the air, and then kind of ignored him, and I think that's probably what we all should do.
It took years for the FCC to finally pull this, though. Thoughts, Brad?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the Al Capone approach. If they went after him for what he said and the content of his speech, there's a very large battle about that. But if you go after him like going after Al Capone for his taxes, okay, if you go after Romanek based upon regulatory problems with the ownership of the station, that makes it easier to get to the same destination, which is getting him off the air. I think that's the approach.
So I've never heard his show or anything. It sounds so appallingly offensive. But what year did he start the show? Do you know?
Approximately,
was it 80s, 90s?
I don't know.
Because if you track, and the reason why I ask is because the FCC is, as Charlie mentioned, has put its foot down on easily accessible media such as radio or network television. And if you track network television, my goodness, you talk about freedom of speech, but they couldn't say or show certain things. The Brady Bunch didn't even have a toilet in their bathroom. Like when you see all the bathroom scenes, they don't show the toilet because it was considered obscene. And I think it was NYPD Blue was the first, quote, R-rated network television show. So they've obviously regulated this before. I can't believe that it's taken this long to regulate his show on the airways.
All right, one more quick one. We still are the only state in the country to not have a database for opioids. And Republican Senator Cindy O'Loughlin has made it clear that she does not trust the government to handle citizens' private or personal information. She worries that it could be misused and questions whether that database would prevent overdose deaths. Brad, it's a shame that we don't have anyone else to ask on how their monitoring programs went, but or maybe we could ask 49 other states. But are you surprised that there's still opposition in Missouri to a drug prescription monitoring program?
I am. I mean, the point that Senator O'Loughlin's making is right. It does put our data at risk, but all of our data is at risk. And the benefits of having a drug monitoring program, I think, far and away override any privacy concerns. Every state in the country except for us has gone in that direction, and it just looks backwards.
Have you ever considered that private personal information is in the hands of the government every day? I'm talking about the post office, the letter carrier who delivers something to your house. How often is your private information stolen by the letter carrier? This woman just isn't a thinker.
Well, and I will say this in honor of the post office, Kathleen Madigan makes a great point. People complain about the price of stamps. Well, what if I gave you a piece of paper, Brad, and said, here, I will pay you $1 to take this piece of paper halfway around the world? You would think that's a pretty good deal.
My hourly rate is a lot higher than that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.